BYU football with Kalani Sitake. It's our annual combo show as we talk about a big win over TCU and look ahead to Cincinnati with Kalani, and then catch up on the Cougar Hoopsters season so far as we're joined by men's basketball head coach Kevin Young. And it's all coming your way next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
All right. From a loud and lively Studio C in the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, good evening once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back. It is time for another edition, Game 11 edition of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, and our sneak peek edition of BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, as we are joined here in Studio C by a tremendous studio audience. I really do believe that. Thank you for being here. It's a great group. And that could be you next week. We thank you for tuning in live or on demand on the BYU TV app, ESPN Plus, along with BYU Radio. Coming up on this evening's program, we will recap a big win over TCU on the weekend at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Kalani helps us to look ahead to this Saturday's showdown in Cincinnati. Tight end Carson Ryan joins us inside the film room to talk about his big game. Later in this hour, BYU men's hoops head coach Kevin Young will join the show. We'll take a look back at this past weekend's big game in Boston and preview an NCAA tournament rematch with Wisconsin this Friday in Salt Lake City. Well, he has BYU controlling its own destiny for a berth in the Big 12 championship game. And this past week, he just coached his 125th game on the BYU sidelines. Please welcome back into Studio C, the head coach of your BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake. Just a standard standing ovation that you get when you walk into every room.
I mean, I think they just wanted me to dance a little bit. You know, I gotta start doing that.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah. We'll do that next time.
When did the end zone dance tradition get underway, do you think, really in earnest? How many years has it been going on? Were you really kind of cut loose in the end zone?
I think I've been doing it
ever since the start, right?
Yeah. Whenever The Rock asks for it, I just do it. So yeah. That's just, yeah. When I hear them say, I think it started one time when someone yelled, "Do the gritty," and then I did it.
Since then,
it's like, I guess the gritty's still in, you know what I mean? So, especially for a 50-year-old man, I guess it still works.
That's usually my cue to find you in the locker room for our pregame interviews. Once I see you get through the end zone, I know that's my time to go spend a few minutes with you.
And I'm usually out of breath.
You're usually winding down.
And sweating, so yeah. Yeah.
How great was it to be back home at Lavelle Edwards Stadium? Because it felt like four long weeks away.
Yeah, it was awesome. It just felt like we've been away too long. So it was nice to get back home in front of our fans and have a, you know, it's great we have fans everywhere that we go, but it was nice to see everybody in blue and making a lot of noise for us. It just felt right to be back home and playing in Lavelle again.
You never want to take a full house for granted, but that's five straight sellouts to open the season at Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Yeah, it's amazing. And thank you to all the fans that can make the trip. And I know a lot of people drive from far away and brave the long days and the late night kickoffs. But we really appreciate you guys. And just speaking for the players and the coaches and staff, we just love you guys and appreciate all the support that we get.
Speaking of not taking things for granted, since the start of last season, your team has played 23 games. You've won 20 of them. 20-3 in the last 23 games in a power conference. Not an easy thing to do, and I think it deserves a lot of recognition. And this year, you're 9-1 through 10 games for a second consecutive season. Winning games at the FBS level is hard. Doing so in the power conference level is even harder. What you guys are doing is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, we have some great momentum, and I think there's a lot of amazing factors that are going into it. And one is just the players that we have. I mean, they're unique and special, and the leadership, and I mean, that combined with the fans and the connection that they have with the fan base, and then, you know, we have some amazing coaches too that can get it done, and so I get the best seat in the house. I get to see it all happen, and I get to see it all on the field too. So it's been a lot of fun, and just really thankful that we have some great momentum going.
And I know you think the fans are a part of that 20-3 record too, for sure.
Oh yeah, a big part of it. I mean that's. I mean, they're the ones that I'm with them. I just don't like the three that's in that spot. So let's make the next 23 different.
bounce back opportunity you had after your only loss of the year in Lubbock. Quite a response from your guys this past weekend.
Yeah, really proud of the players and the coaches and everybody involved. Just, you know, that was a hard and in some ways embarrassing the way that we showed up in that game, didn't play our best. But I was proud of the guys, the effort, and I was proud that they were physical in the game. And, you know, we still are in a position, they've earned the right to be in the position now to still control their destiny. And we knew that it would take compared to last year when we lost the Kansas game, there was like a little hangover from that game. Mm-hmm. And it bled into the Arizona State game, you know. And so this one, we wanted to make sure to not allow that to happen. And the leadership on the team took over. And you know, the practices were really nice, and so, you know, when you put all that work, and sometimes when things don't go your way, the answer is a positive attitude and get to work, you know, and the guys did that, and I like that they played at a high level, and good things happened Saturday night, so it was a lot of fun. Now we got some more momentum, stay hungry, stay humble, and get back to work, and today's practice was awesome, so I like the way the guys are working right now.
You know, Texas Tech, I thought that was a game in which the defense probably played well enough to have a better result, but it wasn't the best day for the offense or the special teams, which is why I really like the fact that this past week the Big 12 honors BYU for the offensive line of the week, Will Farron as the special teams player of the week, and Bear Bachmeyer as the offensive player of the week. So offense and special teams really came back strong and complemented that strong BYU defense.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when we're doing things at executing at a high level, sometimes the answer is just keep it more simple and just do all the little things right. And I thought those guys, that's what they did. Get back to our identity and then just find ways to get to extend drives and get first downs and things like that. And defensively, we just knew that if we can keep them, keep them guessing on what we're doing in coverage. It wasn't anything too fancy, but the guys are really nice with their technique and their alignment and the fundamentals of the game. I thought we tackled well and I thought we blocked well. And sometimes it just comes down to the simple things.
We'll talk a bit more about Cincinnati in a little bit, but it's another week where the national spotlight is on BYU. It's not your campus, but Big Noon Kickoff from Fox is coming to Cincinnati to preview BYU in Cincinnati on Saturday night. That's a big deal. I think you appreciate the spotlight. You've earned the spotlight. What are the team's plans for the week to get out to an Eastern time zone city? It's not really an East Coast game, but it is an Eastern time zone destination. What are the plans for practice and travel this week?
Yeah, usually when we go two time zones away, we'll leave an extra day early.
So Thursday.
So we'll leave on Thursday, and even though the kickoff is late on Saturday night, I think we'll get there, Thursday night, and then and sleep, get two nights of sleep there, and be on that clock, and then it's just another 8 p.m. kickoff for us, something that we're used to, and even though we'll be on the road, I think the guys are going to be. In terms of time, I think that they'll be in a really good spot.
You'll have a walkthrough type practice on the Friday, yeah. Similar to what you did when you went to ECU two time zones.
Yeah, and we'll do it at the Bengals
facility. That's pretty
cool. So, you know,
see Ryan Rico while you're up there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll see a lot of people up there, you know, for that game and with all the attention coming with Big Noon Kickoff. And so it's really nice to be have a spotlight on our team and hopefully our guys are ready to shine in that moment.
So much on the line for BYU football right now.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's what you want. All right. It was indeed good to be back at Lavelle Edwards Stadium after 4 weeks away. Let's take a look at some highlights of BYU's 44-13 win over the TCU Horned Frogs. These highlights are presented by Waystar. Going to focus on a couple of areas of the team. I want to look at the secondary, first of all. Going to focus on defense first, then a little bit of offense. Looking at the BYU secondary, put to the test by Josh Hoover. He had his way with BYU 2 years ago, not the case the other night. Faletau Satuala, third pick of the year, fourth of his career, first sack of the career for Smev, our guest last week on the show. Evan Johnson gets the corner blitz sack. Love seeing that. And, of course, this great play. Tanner Wall with his deal ceiling pick six. Made it 44-13, your final score. Great work by the DBs on Saturday night.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job with coverage, and we did a lot of different, a lot with Coach Guilford and Coach Hill, those coaches did a great job prepping them, just disguising looks and then mixing zones and man. Hoover's really good at throwing the ball, and we had to keep him guessing and then buy time for the pass rush to get there. And we had some good hurries and some sacks. So it was nice getting two turnovers, you know, but we still want more in that. I think there's still a lot of room for improvement. They got some big chunk plays, and what was nice is they're really good on third down conversions, and we held them to one for 10.
Yeah,
so that's really good. They're usually around 50%. They're one of the top of the nation, so that was nice. I mean, Sonny Dykes is a great coach, and he knows how to get those guys throwing the ball, and I thought overall we kept them on their heels a little bit and didn't let them establish any momentum.
That's a really good win. Tanner Wall, he was on this show this year. A leader off the field, a great player on the field, getting a lot of attention for the all-around person he is in your program right now.
Yeah, and I think he manifested that interception. He was telling everybody he's going to get one and get in the end zone. And so I was like, why don't you just do this every week, bro? You should just be saying that the whole time, you know. But he's come close to getting in the end zone before.
He has, yes.
And so this one, he was just, you could tell he that's all he wanted. I mean, he looked like the receiver in him, you know, when he was weaving back through all the traffic, and I was just really happy that he was able to get in the end zone.
Let's take a look now at the Big 12 Co-Offensive Player of the Week, Bear Bachmeier. Another excellent all-round outing for Bear on Saturday night. You're running out of superlatives. I know you always say humble and hungry and keep him level-headed, but not really a problem with him because level-headedness is kind of his calling card.
Yeah, and I think he was on a different mindset this entire week, and I like seeing that from him. That, you know, there's a big sense of urgency for him to improve from Texas Tech to this game, and I thought he did a great job. All his attention to detail was amazing, and this would be a good moment for him to grow and learn. And I was just really proud of the way he conducted the offense, and he's super tough. We know we can count on him doing that, and I think we're all getting used to seeing 47 in the backfield. It's kind of like normal for us now.
A couple of stat superlatives for Bear Bachmeier. After his game Saturday, he's now got 479 rushing yards on the year. Only two guys who've played quarterback at BYU all time have ever had those numbers or beyond, and it's Bear and Taysom Hill, a pretty decent running quarterback himself. And with 10 rushing touchdowns on the year, he's tied Taysom, Zach Wilson, and Steve Young for the most quarterback rushing touchdowns in a year at 10. So the next one he gets, he'll set a new record by himself as a true freshman.
Yeah, that's crazy to do that as a true freshman, and it's been nice to be able to rely on his legs, but it's also good to see him throw the ball too. And so I think the playbook's now open for him, and I think that'd be really nice. I mean, he's just a freshman, so he's got a lot of games to play and a great career to look forward to. But we just wanted to focus on this week and this weekend, just playing this one game in Cincy.
Okay, from last weekend, stats are presented by Smarty, Address Data Wizards. Final score, 44-13, BYU over TCU. The Cougs hold the Horned Frogs under 300 yards on the day. A very balanced BYU outing. When you go for 300 and 150 passing and rushing, you're probably going to win that football game. Clean with penalties, clean in the turnover margin, just the one giveaway, and you got two takeaways, and you were on the field a lot as an offense. So just a really comprehensive win. We talked in pregame about you saying, I don't think we played our best football yet. This felt like maybe your best football game of the year.
Yeah, I feel like we're doing it at the right time. So yeah, Peaking at the right moment, and I still think we can do better, but it was just nice to be at home. I just, one of the best memories I have from the game is that I think I'll remember forever is that the last drive, the fans still there, making all the noise and causing two false start penalties. I mean, that was amazing. And then we ended the drive. So it's like it was a complete game from the fans and the players in all three phases. So we can just call that one. If we can get that done at home, I think it'll be really difficult to beat our team.
And you ended it with reserve defenders taking on their first stringers.
Yeah, it's good to see those guys make plays and, finally just have some success in the drive. We were always willing to sacrifice some stats for their experience, but it's nice when the stats work out in our favor too.
And they did 44-13. All right, time for our weekly schedule check. We are down to two games remaining in the regular season. You win both and you're guaranteed of a berth in the Big 12 championship game. There's other ways to get there with tiebreakers and whatnot, but you don't want to depend on that stuff. You just want to go win two, with the first being the most important here at Cincinnati, and then home to UCF to finish the regular season. All right, we saw a highlight a moment ago of Carson Ryan rumbling in for a score in Saturday night's win. Tonight, he joins our Jerem Jordan to break down that play and his excellent blocking on an earlier TD. Let's hear now from Carson and Jerem inside the film room.
Carson, congrats on the great game and another win.
Thank you.
Let's break down a 43-yard touchdown catch.
Let's do it. My route right here, well, there's two things I'm doing here. I'm trying to get my overhead defender number 20, the corner, to kind of push out and make him think that I'm either running deep or trying to tag his outside shoulder to break out, because this play is designed to hit pretty early. So we're hoping that that middle area, kind of like in between the numbers and hashes, is going to be open. So that defender that's there pre-snap, I'm trying to see where he goes, and he kind of played out towards me right there, and I had to make a little bit of a move right there. So I'm lucky I was able to slip underneath him pretty easily. After this, I caught the ball, and then first thing I see is just to get upfield. So I try to take that knife step just to split the defenders, and I see that I kind of got a little bit of a leverage on the safety right here. So I try to just get around him, stiff arm, and then is that Tiger right there?
Tiger. Block of the year by Tiger.
Tiger makes a good block by standing there.
And then I love Reggie running over. It's a celebration block.
Well, I thought Reggie was gonna like block him. I thought he was gonna try to like box him out or something right there. And then he's kind of just putting his arms in the air. I mean, he's giving some effort there. Like, he's trying.
Is that the longest touchdown of your college career?
Yeah, longest touchdown, second longest catch.
All right, next play. Parker Kingston on a jet sweep for a rushing touchdown.
So right here is jet sweep. Like you said, it's a big play for us here at BYU. We do a lot of it in a lot of different ways. We should have three lead blockers here, me, Noah, and LJ. And right here, me and Noah are thinking to take care of that defensive end first. And Noah does a pretty good job here of just kind of getting hands on him and keeping him from getting onto Parker quick, which is really good. And then as soon as I make sure that Noah's got his guy, my first thought is to get the first guy that's on the edge of the line of scrimmage. And usually it's the corner when we're in these formations. And I love the plays like this where you can just kind of get a full head of steam to the guy and just get your hands on him, manhandle him, just let Parker walk around you. And also, yeah, shout out LJ's block too right here. He gets in his guy and he drives him in the end zone. He just doesn't even have a chance of making the tackle right there.
Okay, Cincinnati, massive game for BYU coming up Saturday. You guys are on a roll. You're 9-1. You continue to have opportunities to win and try and get to Arlington.
Yep.
How do you feel about the matchup?
Feel good about it. You know, I mean, they're a good team, and you know, they've had a couple losses in a row, so they're going to definitely want to come back and get their get back on us and get a win and kind of get out of that slump that they're in. And so we're going to have to be ready to play, and they're going to give us their best shot. And, you know, for us, this is going to be a big game. Like, it's a chance to, you know, seal our chance at the Big 12 championship. And, you know, like Coach Klein says, next game's always the biggest game. And so, you know, we're going to be ready to go, but they're going to be a good opponent. It's going to be a fun game.
Okay, best of luck, and thanks for the time, Carson.
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
All right, another guest on this season of shows, Carson Ryan. Always good to hear him break things down and to see him rewarded with that 43-yard catch and run for TD.
Yeah, and he had a few catches and was able to get some chunk yards on him. And I mean, he catches the ball really well, but I think a lot of the stuff that doesn't go seen is his blocking. He's physical at the line of scrimmage, and he opens up a lot of the runs for LJ and for Bear and the others. But he's not worried about the credit. He just likes playing the game, and he's a great teammate. So, I mean, we've had him on here before, and I'm happy that he was able to get that touchdown, even with Reggie not really getting a block. It would have been nice for Reggie to pick it up so he didn't have to fall in the ground, you know.
Yeah. We do want to shout out Reggie, though, for career catch number one for him in this game, too, though.
And Reggie's got a lot of talent, man. He's super fast, and he's big, and I think he's going to have a great career here, too.
You know, the career of Carson Ryan, BYU only gets him for 1 year, right?
Yeah.
But what a great year to finish off his collegiate to run the right way.
Yeah, and we're going to use him for everything. And I'm really thankful that A-Rod and Coach Gilbride and them have a lot of faith in him, because he can deliver.
All right, it is time to deliver you all our first break. And this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer and Jerem weekdays at noon Eastern. You can watch it and listen to it on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Kalani and the team hit the road for some Skyline Chili, maybe, in Cincinnati. We'll preview that game coming up next. Stay with us.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Waystar, and Smarty, address data wizards.
Welcome back. to BYU football with Kalani Sitake. This weekend, BYU off to the Queen City for the latest game of the year. Let's call it. It's BYU in Cincinnati. We'll take a look at the Bearcats in a second. But before we tell you that, let's tell you that the latest college football playoff rankings just came out. BYU goes from 12th to 11th, up a spot with the win over TCU. So there you go.
Sounds good.
As you say, just keep winning and everything takes care of itself.
Yeah, just keep focused on the game and control what we control. Win the game and we'll see what happens next week.
Okay, let's get to a know the foe when it comes to the Bearcats. It's presented by Deseret Book, home to real life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. There you see the Bearcats, Coach. They've lost back-to-back games. They opened up 5-0 in the Big 12, losing at Utah and then home to Arizona to come into the 5-2 into your game. You've never lost to Cincinnati. BYU's not as a program. You went out there in, I think, your first year, right?
Yep.
In 2016, you went to Cincinnati and won a game there. One of the things they do, as you see at the bottom there, is take care of the ball pretty well. I think you've turned it over 10 times on the year, which is excellent. They turned it over one less time than you.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good matchup. I think, you know, they're a complete team, and they play different at home. So I think their back's against the wall. They need this game too. So there's a lot on the table with this game, and a lot riding on it, and for them and for us. And so, you know, there's a sense of urgency to everyone playing their best. I think if we just play our best, focus on what we do. And then focus on the fundamentals. I think things should work out, but it's not going to be easy. Our guys know that, but we shouldn't be surprised if it is too. I think the key is just play your best and then just try to, if we can complement all three phases and get better from last week to this weekend, then I think we'll be in a really good spot. But, you know, it's a tough task, and especially being there, but, you know, we're intrigued and we're impressed with what they do on film.
Let's get your thoughts on one player from each side of the ball for them. Quarterback Brendan Sorsby, the Indiana transfer, 31 total touchdowns on the year, which is third most among FBS quarterbacks, 22 of them passing. That's ninth most in the country. He's a top 25 guy in yards per attempt, only four picks on the year. He's top 30 in pass efficiency rating. He's one of the better quarterbacks in a very good quarterbacking league, the Big 12.
Yeah, extremely athletic, and you can see the way he runs, and so he can make things difficult for us, and but he's athletic. He can throw the ball, and he's got a lot of weapons. I think they have really good receivers and running backs that can complement the pass game. So this is going to be a good challenge for us. I think Coach Hill and the boys, they got to be ready, and we got to utilize all the time in practice to get ready for them. But they're dangerous. We just got to do our best to minimize their gains.
On the other side of the ball, one of your favorite players in the league, the man they call the Godfather, Dante Corleone, the big nose tackle. He missed two games due to injury this year. That's why his games played number is down to 8. Hasn't had the impact this year with TFLs or sacks. You can see he has a big number for the career, 17 tackles for loss, 9.5 sacks, 5 and 3.5 last year. Doesn't have any of them this year. Has a couple of hurries, but he is a three-time team captain and takes up a lot of space and a lot of attention in terms of players in the middle of that line.
Yeah, he's a force, and I mean, he's a big guy that he's next level. He'll be an NFL player. I like him. I've had amazing interactions with him. He's got a great personality, and so, I've always been a fan of his, just not this weekend, mm-hmm. but respect what he does. And I mean, when you're a D tackle, you don't get a lot of stats sometimes, and he does get a lot of attention, and so I'm pretty sure people have to double him, and we feel good about our interior O-line, and they're just gonna have to be really strong and physical because that's what he is. But it's gonna be a cool challenge for us. We've gone against some really good D tackles along the way, and he's probably one of the best out there. But it'll be a good matchup for Bruce and the boys.
And it's a night game for BYU. The Cougs are 12-1 in their last true away night games. You know how to go on the road and take care of business after a long day of waiting.
Yeah, I don't mind it being dark.
That's right. Number 11, BYU in Cincinnati. And here's what you can expect on the TV and the radio in terms of coverage on Saturday night. 6 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Mountain on both BYU TV and BYU Radio for pregame coverage. The game on Fox and BYU Radio at 6 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 o'clock Eastern. And stay with both BYU TV and BYU Radio for postgame coverage. All right, fit check, as the kids would say, for the Cougs, Saturday in Cincy. Going with the royal helmets and the all-whites. Clean look for nighttime at Nippert. And there you see BYU's never lost to Cincy again. 3-0 is the record against the Bearcats. Coming up next, Men's head basketball head coach Kevin Young will join the show. Stay with us as our special combo edition of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. And Ken Garf, we hear you.
This is BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, presented by Intermountain Health. In a couple of weeks, December 4th, to be precise, we will debut BYU basketball with Kevin Young as we take you through the remainder of the hoops season every Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Tuesday for football, Thursday for hoops. But every year in mid-November, we do what the kids call a collab, as the Sitake Show calls an audible to talk a little hoops and get a sneak peek of our season ahead with Coach Young. So without further ado, please welcome back to Studio C, your second year head men's coach, head coach of the men's basketball team, Kevin Young. The great thing about having these shows in the season that they come in is that we get to celebrate Kalani's birthday with him during his season of shows, and we get to note that yesterday was your 44th birthday. So happy birthday to you, Coach Young. Thanks. So you've had a birthday, and then a few weeks ago you had a birthday in your home. Tell us what's up with the Young family.
Took a page out of his book and had a baby. So Lily's about, I think, 6 weeks old at this point, so sleep is starting to get itself figured out a little bit. Got my in-laws in town. They left, I had to call them back. I need you guys back. So now we've got a lot of support, and it's fun time at our house.
All right, Kalani, you can relate to being in your 40s, having a baby, into your coaching career. Any words of advice for the new dad again, Kevin Young?
Well, the 40s seems so long ago. I'm 50 now. You know, but he's a young one, so he's got this under control. But just have them all while you're young, bro.
I hear you. We're done, so we don't have to worry about that anymore.
And that makes it four for you guys, right?
Four for us. So.
You want to name the other ones so they don't feel left out?
Yep, so Jude is our 12-year-old, Van's 10-year-old, Zoe's 7, and Lily's the newborn.
Now we get a little caboose.
Yep.
And everyone's doing great?
Everyone's good, yeah. Mom's a champ, as all moms are. So she's plugging away and just continuing to be amazing.
All right. Coach, you talk all the time about how you were a BYU fan before you were a BYU coach. And yes, you were a football fan, but you've been a basketball fan probably as long as you've been a football fan at BYU. I know you love what Coach Young and the Cougs have been doing and are doing right now.
Oh, yeah. I love the team and love basketball. And, you know, that was my first love, was basketball before football. And, you know, I thought I was going to be a really good basketball player. And then I started, the older I got, the more I started setting picks instead of dribbling the ball around picks. And I figured, man, maybe this isn't the sport for me, but I love the game, and I love what KY does with the team. And I mean, as soon as the season's over, I'm going to go hang out with him and watch them practice and everything. But they've been amazing. The teams, we watched them play when we're on the road. We watched them play against North Carolina. That was a really good game, and we're excited about what we see from the program.
And you're a fan of him and his football program.
No, for sure. It's super fun. I think for me, one of the fun was we had an exhibition game at Nebraska in the morning, flew back in time to come. Oh, we went straight from the airport over to
guys in the stands.
Over to their game. So, I mean, I know our players love going and supporting those guys. I'm a big fan of football in general. I love watching the games. My sons don't miss a game, and so we're all in.
And a 9-1 start for BYU on the gridiron. I mean, tough to get much better.
It's been an unbelievable year. I know they want to keep playing well and keep getting better, and it's just fun to follow it.
We have these two K head coaches, Kalani and Kevin, both operating things at such a high level. And there are more sports than just these two, and you guys support all the coaches around you. But it's good when a school can have the two, you know, kind of marquee sports happening to succeed at the same time and maybe take a page from each other's book in terms of success. What a great time to be a Cougar fan right now.
Absolutely. And I mean, with the recruiting that they're doing as well, I mean, I've certainly used that as I'm talking to recruits and their advisors, just in terms of how much I think BYU wants to get really good players, and cite examples both from their program, from our program. And so I think there's a lot of momentum that we can both kind of play off on.
Speaking of recruiting, let's note your new signings from signing day. KJ Perry, Abdullah Ahmed, Dean Ruckert, and Will Openshaw. If you had to say a few things about each of those guys for Cougar Nation, what might they be?
Yeah, some exciting young players. You know, just kind of in order, KJ Perry, highly touted kid coming out of the junior college ranks. Super, super athletic, dynamic guard, really explosive. Think he can help us just in terms of a Big 12 athlete and give us some explosive play in the backcourt. Big Beto, as we call him, from Egypt. Obviously, there's been a lot to made of some of the new rules in college sports. Coming out of the, he's played for the in the G League. Was not on an NBA contract, which then makes him eligible to play in college. Really athletic, big, very good shot blocker, pretty skilled as well. Gives us just a big body that with some experience we can count on. Dino. He was one of the first young guys I started recruiting when I got this job. Local guy, played right up the road at Tempview. Mm-hmm. Really good shooter. Had a great summer on the Nike circuit and played against some of the best players in the country and shot the ball extremely well. Versatile as well. Really good size and length at the position. And then Will Openshaw's got a lot of upside. Young guy, got a great nose for the ball, about 6'10". Plans to serve a mission, so hopefully that body fills out a little bit. And excited to really welcome all four of those guys.
And Kalani, when, you know, with Coach Young and his staff recruiting the way they are, when you do your recruiting, are people aware of what's going on, you know, with basketball and how it maybe kind of impacts their overall impression of BYU, even from a football sense?
Of course. And I think whenever you have, like, you know, what Richie was able to do last year, and then you have AJ and Rob and the group being in there, our players are all big basketball fans. So, you know, when we had spring ball going on during the tournament, we had players fly out the next day to go to Colorado and watch the games. And so, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's cool when the fans have all this momentum created by these sports that are having a lot of success. And whenever you can trigger the fans to react and to be emotional and be excited, I think it creates this unbelievable wave of momentum. And we're just going to keep riding it because it's a lot of fun.
And once your season ends here weeks from now, many weeks from now, we're going to see you at the Marriott Center for basketball games.
Yeah, I'm going to be over there and telling the refs how great of a job they're doing. And, eating cougar tails and doing all that stuff that I see KY doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're playing. So, yeah, I'm going to take advantage of all the fun nights in the Marriott Center. It's gonna be awesome.
It is awesome to have both of these coaches with us for this special combo show. We usually have like a fun and game segment around this part with coaches and players. Tonight, we're actually gonna turn it over to you all to help us participate in this segment tonight. You're gonna have a chance to answer questions about these guys, and correct answers will be getting BYU TV swag that Hema Haymooli, our show producer, has collected. Hema, by the way, shout out for Hema over here on the stage. We've got the big plastic crate of winnings here. And what we're going to do is we are going to ask a question. And the first person to just raise their hand and give us the correct response, Hema, will be getting swag that will be either tossed or gently handed to you in the audience. All right. Question number one is about Kalani. All right. And again, first to hand up, we'll see. Hema will judge this and we'll go for this. Kalani is currently in what number season as head coach at BYU? Hema says, and the answer?
10.
Is that right, Kalani?
That is right.
It is his 10th season. Well done.
Go.
A cap being thrown. That's how it goes. This is about Coach Kevin Young. Coach Young coached for how many years in the Phoenix Suns organization? How many years in the Phoenix Suns organization?
Eight
sounds a little heavy. It's not eight, right?
Not eight.
We're looking for not eight. Yes.
Five.
We're getting close.
Warmer?
We're getting
okay.
close. We're getting close.
Grab a green shirt over there.
Six.
Colder.
Gray shirt. Yeah, you.
Four. Give him the hat.
There we go. All right, it's a two-part question. You got to get both of them right. Kalani wore which jersey numbers as a player at BYU? Which jersey numbers, plural, at BYU? Can your family answer?
My family cannot win this. Guys, put your hand down, Mom. Sky, no, you guys can't do it. Right.
23 and 34. Good job. There may have been some insider training going on up there. Yeah. All right. Coach Kevin Young concluded his collegiate playing career at what college?
Ooh, if someone gets this right, that's
give him the whole crate.
Can I guess on this one?
Clayton State, let's go. The deep cut.
What's a mascot?
Lakers.
Okay.
Tell us where Clayton State is.
15 minutes south of downtown Atlanta.
Okay, and they are the Lakers. Yeah. All right. By the way, if you do enough searching on the internet, you're going to find Coach Young with some epic length shorts in those days.
Yeah, different era back then.
Yeah, All right, this one. Now, the family's going to. Okay. What is the name of the city in Tonga where Kalani was born?
Ooh.
That's my niece.
You can't win this either.
We're disqualified.
My niece.
Are we gonna say if she's okay?
Yeah. Is she okay?
No, let's do it.
No, come on.
It's my niece. good job. Good job, Neti.
Tell us again the name of the city.
Nukualofa.
Yeah. All right, Coach Young. I'm afraid that we may have. Okay, this is a comprehension quiz because the answer may have been given to you tonight. How many kids does Coach Young currently have? Mm. Everybody got this, so
what are their ages?
Okay, let's go. Look.
Someone that's not.
Let's go over here in the green. In the green. There we go.
Four is correct.
Good listener.
All right. Kalani Sitake served his mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in which coastal city? Mm. Emma, what do you see out there?
Someone in that area. Yeah. I think you were first.
Blue hoodie. Oakland, California.
That's Oakland, right. California is correct. Way to go.
Yep.
Back to Coach Young. Coach Young was the head coach of what Utah-based team before returning to the state of Utah to coach BYU? I'm going to pick this one out right there.
The Stars. Close, but wrong.
Brendan. we're going back up top.
There we go.
The Utah Flash. Well done. Good job.
The predecessor to the Stars.
Exactly right. All right, two questions left. This one will be about Coach Kalani. In what year was Coach Sitake inducted into the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame? Mm. Yes, young man, right here.
2016.
No, young man, right here.
Last year.
No, young man, right here.
2022?
Also no. in red-ish.
2025?
Yep.
This year. And congratulations,
congrats,
by the way.
Congrats.
Thank you.
What did that mean to you, going into the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it meant a lot. That's hometown in La'i, you know. So, it was cool seeing all the legends that have been in there, and just honored that I get to be in the Hall of Fame, the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame. So
that was back in January of this
really
year.
Really cool honor. Yeah, thank
very
you.
Very good. All right, and our final question: In what city was Kevin Young born? In what city was Kevin Young born, young man?
Here.
You say here, meaning Provo. We got to say no to that one. Yeah.
Salt Lake City, Utah.
There we go.
Utah, just up the road. All right, there you go. Give you up, folks. We are going to stay in our studio audience. It's time for our Q&A portion of the program. So now it's open floor. Hema's got the Deacon's Roaming mic. And if you have a question for the coaches, now is your time. Hema, it's up to you.
Okay.
By the way, this Q&A session is presented by Ken Garf, where we hear from you, the fans. Thanks. Go ahead, sir.
So coaches, I know that it's for both of you. It's been a long off season, and for Coach Slataki, it's been an even longer football season. Coach Young, the season's only underway, but as opposed to when you got back together after the off season was over and you're getting ready for this season, where are some of the areas for both of your teams where you've seen the most improvement overall?
I'll take it. So for us defensively, you know, that was an area that, you know, we felt like we had to get a lot better at. We went out and recruited, I think, some just bigger athletes, longer bodies and so forth. And I think the early returns, I'm happy with that, but clearly have a long way to go still.
I think the defense, understanding the scheme a little bit more and learning all the intricacies and details of it all. And offensive, just we go as fast as our quarterback can go. So we're in a much better spot now.
Okay. Question number two up in the crowd. The mic is coming toward the center of the building, and it's being passed and passed and passed. And where it stops, nobody knows. Go ahead.
This is a question for Coach Young. Coach Satake has Kalani Satake Road. What is your creamery ice cream flavor going to be named and consist of if you could make it right now?
So that's a great question. I think we're in the process of debuting said ice cream. So I don't feel like I can divulge the name.
Not at Liberty, but any teases about what it might include?
So I'm a malt guy. I'm a big malt guy. So there might be some malt options there. Honestly, the hardest part was coming up with the name. That's a sweet name.
That's not so bad. Yeah.
Like that one. So ours.
You like the name they came up with? You good with it?
So shout out to my wife. She's the one that really coined the phrase. So I'm hoping that gets debuted here soon.
We almost had breaking news tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Our next question in the crowd. So where's the mic at? There we go. Hi.
Hey, coaches. A lot of young kids these days are wondering what their future and what their career is going to consist of. I'm wondering if there was a specific time early on in your lives where you thought, hey, I'd love to coach. I'd love to mentor young athletes. I'd like to make this part of my future.
For me, it was when I was with Lavelle, when I got to be around him as a coach and how much he meant to me, and I didn't know what level I was going to coach. I just knew that that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So for me, it was a similar experience with a coach that was really impactful. It was my high school coach, Roger Quams, his name. He came out actually to several games out here in Provo last year and will be back this year as well. Just had a major impact on my life, and he is the reason I chose to get into coaching.
Excellent. We have time for one more question. Where did our mic end up? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, what's your favorite creamery ice cream?
Satake Road, bro. Come on.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with that.
Whatever this malt thing is going to be, that we can't know the name of it yet. But the teaser, I my mouth was watering. I want it right now. So, yeah, there's not an ice cream that I don't like. So,
all right. Thanks, folks, for the questions. After this break, we'll have more with Coach Young. We'll have a men's hoops trivia question coming up as well. So we're going to, as we head to break, thank Kalani for being with us tonight. We'll have Coach Young take it the rest of the way. A shout out for Coach Kalani. Back with more with Coach Young after this.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
To Coach Kalani, and welcome back to our annual sneak peek edition of BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Now, we're already a couple of weeks into the 2025-26 men's basketball regular season. The Cougs 3-1 on the season, ranked ninth nationally. They opened 3-0 before suffering their first setback this past Saturday in Boston. Coach Young, welcome again to Studio C. We'll do this many more times throughout the year. Through four games, what do you like about what your guys have gotten done so far?
I think our chemistry is starting to grow. I think that's probably one of the biggest things we have to continue to get better at. But I think we're understanding each other a little bit more. I think our understanding of the schemes, particularly defensively, kind of like what Coach was talking about, I think is growing, and we've had some, you know, pretty significant challenges in terms of playing some pretty good teams, both in the exhibition season as well as the regular season.
I was looking forward to seeing Nate Pickens play for you this year, the UC Riverside transfer. You're not going to have him this year. Just update folks who maybe are not aware of Nate. And then if we're talking about updates, you know, people are obviously concerned about Kaba, the way they saw him get hurt on Saturday in Boston.
Yeah, so, you know, Nate was a guy that we were really excited about. So obviously why we went out and brought him in, you know, fit this group really, really well with his ability to make a shot from three and then guard his man, Big 12 level athlete as well. Just had it, you know, hurt the same ankle multiple times, and he was trying to rehab it to get back, but ultimately the doctors just felt like it was going to be smarter to have this go the surgery route. So we'll miss him. As far as Kaba goes, got his bell rung pretty good in that UConn game, but he's trending in a positive direction. But we're going through all those protocols right now, but in terms of the long term outlook, he seems to be okay.
That's good news. You're in a stretch of one game in 12 days. Then you're going to be playing, I think, four games in 12 days. The pace is about to pick up for you guys here a bit.
It is, you know, and so I think it's good sometimes to, you know, have a little bit of decompression time after games, and then give you time to sort of switch gears and start focusing on another opponent. And then, as you said, you know, things will start heating up. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. You know, that one thing that I'm still getting used to of college versus NBA is just the amount of practice time.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we've been just banging heads against each other for like 4 or 5 months. So it's nice when there's another colored jersey on the other side.
A game to break it up, yeah. Let's revisit a little bit of a BYU and UConn from Saturday. It was a top 10 versus top 10 showdown. Highlights and stats are presented by Intermountain Health. It was a homecoming day for A.J. DeBonsa. A big night for A.J. Had a great second half especially, and an excellent night overall. 25 points, 6 rebounds. He drew 9 fouls himself, made 7 of 10 free throws. He shot 50% or better from the field in all 4 of his games this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's the thing about this game, and I thought the Villanova game was similar. You know, he didn't have a great first half. You know, all these highlights are from the second half. I mean, he's a really smart young man, and I think to be able to make in-game adjustments, you know, he was rushed in the first half. Second half, I thought he took his time, got to his spots. And also, I'm learning the group as well. You know, we're trying to figure out what combinations work best. You know, he's clearly a guy that needs space on the floor to operate. So we played a lot more shooting in the second half, and it really opened the game up. I mean, to score, you know, 52 points, I think, in the second half against a really good Utah team. I know you like the analytics. 168 offensive rating in the second half was really impressive.
He's outstanding. How nice to rely on an anchor like Richie Saunders. He has a standard 17 for him, played 34 minutes. He scored in double figures now in 16 straight games going back to last year. He was a plus player on the night. You never want to take him for granted, but it's nice to know what you're going to get from Richie pretty much every night.
Yeah, and even just his ability to space the floor. I mean, they were really worried about him. You know, I thought in the second half he opened up a lot of room for AJ and Rob to operate. And then, you know, he had a hard time getting it going from three. So you can see these. He willed his way to the basket on a number of occasions. And, you know, that I think that speaks volumes to just how much he's respected throughout the country. You know, people are really trying to take him out of the game.
The other member of BYU's Big Three is Robert Wright III. Rob played a team-high 36 minutes for you against UConn. He went 7 for 12 from the field, 4 assists. He's made 6 of his last 13 threes. He's doing everything you knew he could do for you.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the most dynamic guys in the country. Speed and quickness combination is extremely high level. And so, you know, we're continuing to grow, you know. Him understanding what I want, you know, me understanding where to get him in his spots, and then his ability to understand how to get, you know, the other guys involved as well. So it's definitely a growth process.
Okay, final stat check from Saturday. The Cougs fall by 2. Great comeback, by the way, from down 59-39. It was in the second half. Rallied, had a possession to tie it late. Ends up being 86-84. Shot the ball pretty well. UConn just shot a little bit better that night.
I mean, that was a high-level game.
Yeah.
You know, we obviously got off to a rough start. I mean, that's a program I have a lot of respect for just in terms of how much success they've had. They have a lot of guys that have won at an extremely high level. And, you know, we had a lot working against us in those games. And I was proud of the guys that were out there that were able to, you know, will our way back into that game. And it's definitely something we can kind of learn from as we move forward.
All right, let's break and give folks our BYU basketball trivia question for this week. Who holds the BYU record for most three-pointers made in the game without a miss? The answer coming up next. Stay with us. All right, sneak peek edition. BYU basketball with Kevin Young, brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen. All we have time left for is our answer to our great question here, and the answer here is Alex Barcelo. Coach, good luck against Wisconsin on Friday in Salt Lake City. We'll see you all here back in a couple weeks with Coach Young. Good night and go Cougs. We'll see you.